Hello, and thanks for listening to Hanging Pixels, a podcast for professional photographers, where we discuss trends in the photo industry, focusing on the rapidly evolving world of digital photography. My name is T.W. Woodward, and I'm your host. Millennials are the driving force behind the newest and one of the fastest growing sectors in the United States. Forbes called it the do-it-for-me economy, and it is more formally known as the experience-based economy. More and more, consumers are preferring to spend money on exceptional experiences over material goods. Our guest and one of the truly great entrepreneurs in the photo industry was way out in front of this trend. Haim Ariev, the visionary behind Glossy Finish, a photography company focused on youth sports events, sold his business to LifeTouch in 2013. In November of 2017, Haim and his partner, Matt Weiner, purchased the business back from LifeTouch. Haim, thank you for traveling all the way to Minnesota, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, TW. Glad to be here.
Haim, we're sitting here in an office building in Bloomington, Minnesota, like literally in the shadow of LifeTouch's headquarters. I can just about see the building from here. Even though you're stationed in Jacksonville, Florida, you spent some time in Minnesota recently, back when LifeTouch purchased Glossy Finish. How did that go down? How did that whole transition from Glossy Finish owned and operated by Haim Ariev to Haim Ariev now inside of the LifeTouch structure?
Thank you again for having me. There's some irony to all of this. I am back in Minnesota, but I'm not back here for LifeTouch. I did travel quite a few times to Eden Prairie, Viking Drive, as it was referred to. So yeah, I founded the company in 2006 as a .com. We truly were glossyfinish.com. And our focus was on dispatching photographers around the country to photograph various sporting events. Then we would get the images back, we would upload them to our website, and we would hope that the parents would then find them and purchase them from us and then share in the revenue with the photographers that captured the images. And it was truly an epic fail. I think I actually created the hashtag epic fail. So I knew at the time that we had to pivot. And the way we pivoted was by building these mobile photo trailers, which allowed us to go out to the same type of sporting events, primarily though on the eastern seaboard in Florida, Georgia, around our base camp of Jacksonville. And we photographed the events, but the difference was we allowed the parents to then come into our mobile photo trailers and purchase their images on the spot. The issue that we were having was that we were still doing it the old-fashioned way, but in a new way, obviously digital, but we were shooting everything on speculation. We were still shooting on speculation. So we had, you know, trailers, but we were still doing the old spray-and-pray model. Well, about 8 years ago or so, we realized that why are we spending all of our resources when only about 15 to 20% of the parents are actually interested in purchasing something? So we pivoted the model and said, why aren't we photographing just those players who are actually interested in photos? So we started a model where we completely changed and said, if you're interested in photos, you need to put down a small deposit. In that case, it was $20. But that $20 would then become a credit towards your purchase of any of the images that you wanted of your player. And it started off slow, and I was freaking out because we had empty trailers. But event over event over event, we got busier and busier, and more people started understanding our concept and started spending more and more money with us, to the point that when I spoke at a conference in Las Vegas, I caught the attention of some senior LifeTouch executives who were so intrigued with what we were doing that they actually offered us the opportunity to do some of the events for them that they were running. And we did those incredibly successfully. To the point that they said, you know what, why don't we just acquire these guys and bring them in-house? And that's how I ended up in Minnesota.
What time frame was that then that you made that pivot from the, you called it, did you call it spray and pray?
Yeah, it's called a spray and pray. You basically go out, you photograph three innings of a baseball game, you try to get a picture or two of every player on the field, and then you load it up into the system and you hope that somebody comes in, a parent, and finds that image and buys something of that image.
Yep.
It's kind of like painting somebody's house without them wanting it.
And then hoping they find that.
And hoping they like the color.
Yeah. So what was the year that LifeTouch purchased the company?
December of 2013 was when the acquisition closed.
So for many independent photographers, a buyout by a company like LifeTouch, I mean, we all know in this industry that they're aren't many companies the size of LifeTouch. And so an exit strategy that was popular was, I'm going to spend 20 years, grow this business, however long it takes, to get enough customers that LifeTouch takes notice. And then, you know, the bigger company says, well, it's just easier for me to acquire that photographer and those accounts. That was a very real exit plan for a lot of photographers. We all know about, you know, Shutterfly and this LifeTouch merger. Can you walk me through what it was like, I guess, going from independent to corporate? And then what was the mindset when you're starting to find out that, LifeTouch is breaking away and you had the opportunity to buy back your own company?
Yeah, no, fair, you know, fair question. Good question. You know, when LifeTouch approached us, you know, obviously I thought long and hard about, you know, is this the right thing for a glossy finish? We're obviously on an upward tick. We are doing something unique in the industry. But I also, you know, realized that there's not a lot of opportunities to sell a photography company, you know, circa 2013. There weren't a lot of companies buying photography companies, especially ones that were doing what we were doing. So when LifeTouch and I started talking about an acquisition, It was something that I definitely had to take to heart, and, you know, obviously talk to my family and my wife about, spoke to some of my key colleagues about. But at the end of the day, you know, I fundamentally believe we made the right decision, and I, you know, no regrets about doing a transaction with LifeTouch. I happen to think very highly of LifeTouch and, you know, what they've built over the many years. But being honest as well, it was, you know, we were a small group within LifeTouch that did something that nobody else at LifeTouch was doing, which was basically, you know, one, sports photography and printing sports photography, especially action photography at these type of events. So we were kind of like, we were definitely unique within LifeTouch, and I was fortunate enough to work with some really good people while I was there. Still remain in touch with a lot of them, and it was a great experience. But obviously, as we all know now, LifeTouch had some of its own challenges and some of the other divisions that it was also building. And they decided to refocus their attention on school primarily. And they were going to shed their sports division, their standalone sports division, which I was a part of, which Glossy Finish was a part of. And that's when the opportunity came up that they offered us to buy the company back. So myself and Matt, you know, pretty much had a heart-to-heart. We still saw an opportunity in what we were doing in the industry, action, you know, sports photography. And we negotiated what I believe is a fair transaction, and we bought the company back, and we closed on it November of 2017.
Well, Haim, I'm certainly happy that you're back on the side of the independent photographer. I think our listeners would agree. And we're certainly grateful that you came to Minnesota to help me record this show. When I think about Glossy Finish, I think about not only the experience that the kids are having on the field. I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for most of these kids. But I'm also thinking about the experience that you've created for customers, and you've alluded to this a little bit already. I played a ton of baseball when I was young. In fact, my dad is still a coach at one of the local universities here in Minnesota. This love for baseball, like many sports, is handed down from father to son, and I certainly have been guilty of reliving my own youth when I watch my 12-year-old play Little League. So let's pretend that I'm that dad, the one that is reliving his youth through his own son, and I'm heading to the Ripken Experience with my son and his team. What can I expect when I arrive? I mean, how do I find out about glossy finish and action photos available at the tournament?
So yeah, the Ripken experience is awesome. It's awesome on a number of levels. One, it's just it's a great facility for youth baseball. There's, you know, thousands and thousands of players and tens of thousands of families that come through the Ripken experience. You know, and they have three different facilities. They have Aberdeen, Maryland. They have Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And they also have Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We do all the photography for the Ripken experiences in Tennessee and in South Carolina. And the great thing about Ripken Baseball, in addition to our other partners like USA Football and Babe Ruth League and Cal Ripken Baseball and OD, which is Offense Defense, another football league, and baseball youth nationals, softball nationals, they're all really, truly great partners. And what I mean by that is they truly support us. So to answer your question about your experience coming into the Ripken experience, from a photography standpoint, they really help us with pre-marketing what we do. So prior to a family getting there, after a team signs up to participate in one of the Ripken events, in addition to, you know, all the rules and regulations and rule books and things that they send them and hotel accommodations and restaurants and all that good stuff, they also promote our photography services. So what happens at that point is we're already registering families that are interested in photography and our photography services months and months prior to them ever showing up on site at the Ripken experience. And because of our close relationship with them, we're able to, you know, successfully bring in the photography service as part of their overall Ripken experience. And it's worked tremendously. And we get, you know, I'd say we get upwards of 70 to 80% of our signups, our registered players, those families that want photography before they even arrive in Myrtle Beach or in Pigeon Forge.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. So let's say I've signed up online, or even if I haven't, and I'm a little nervous. It's the first day. It's, you know, what's going on the first day in this experience?
Well, you should be more nervous about how you play baseball than how we photograph you playing.
I'm worried about how I'm playing baseball through my son, right?
So. Exactly. Well, you know, there's a funny thing that we say to dads. Dads always come to us and they sign up and they say, I want to get my son hitting. Make sure to get my son hitting. And we always kind of break the ice with them and we say, you know, sir, we can definitely get your son batting, but hitting is up to him and you.
That's right.
And they laugh and they get it. And we, you know, like I said, we break the ice. We have a good time with them. But what happens then is the player, you know, the family will come in. They will obviously will cross-reference that, you know, they signed up for the right event. Believe it or not, sometimes they sign up for the week before, the week after. But assuming everything checks out, we give them what we call a VIP lanyard, which shows them that they're a customer to us. It also shows our staff that this is one of our customers that's there that week. And it's basically just a lanyard they wear around their neck, you know, somewhat similar to a credential that you might see at a, you know, at an NFL or an MLB game. And then we also do something quite unique, which is we put a band around the player's foot. And, you know, in our case, we have orange bands, and this orange band helps us identify the players when they're on the field. We obviously have their name, we have their jersey number, we have their team name, we know where they're playing, we know what positions they're playing. But when we're covering the game, this little band really helps our photographers identify those players very quickly on the field. And we not only use it for baseball, but we use it for softball, we use it for football, we use it for lacrosse, and primarily all the outdoor sports that we photograph.
What I find about this is now, so I've come in, I already know about glossy finish, I know about action photos. I enter the first day of the tournament, and I'm handed a lanyard. I'm handed some I'm just stuff that's got your logo on it. Mm-hmm. Stuff that's starting to take. I've seen this stuff. It actually has a glossy finish on it. I'm sure that's one of your touches. but I definitely noticed that the marketing material, the things that you hand out, the informational yes. pieces that go back to the parents, are all very well done and all in line with what you're doing there on site with providing an experience for the parent. And I can't tell you how much that band on the foot is, like, as far as marketing is concerned, that is a wonderful strategy. Because if I'm one of those parents that did not sign up online, I'm going to wonder what that orange band is doing on, you know, I don't know how many percent of the kids you actually take pictures of, but there's kids walking around with these orange bands on. I'm sure they become some sort of source of pride for the kids.
You're spot on. This orange band is a source of pride, and there's definitely, you know, kids, you know, when we come into the dugout and we do our roll call because we're trying to confirm that our players are actually, you know, on the team and they're going to be playing in the game, we call out, you know, numbers and names and we double check, and we always get kids to say, well, why am I not wearing a rubber band? And our response is, well, go ask your mom.
right. So you're creating a sense of exclusivity or scarcity.
We are, but it truly is. You know, we were once accused of, you know, by a parent. I shouldn't say really accused, but a parent once said to us, it's like, well, you guys have created this club-like. And our response simply is, actually Matt came up with it, our response is, yeah, it's club-like, but anybody can join for a $20 deposit.
Yep.
And but the scarcity part of it is right, because we know what our bandwidth is at any given tournament, at any given event, at any given game. And once we hit a certain threshold of signups of registered players, we just don't take anymore. And that does create a sense of urgency amongst the families, especially those that really want photography, and it makes them sign up for photos.
So let's build on this experience that we're going through. What you've done up to this point is you've created this sense of you've made this customer feel special. Mm-hmm. You've singled them out. They've got this lanyard around their neck saying, my kid's going to be photographed mm-hmm. this weekend. The kid's got the band. You guys have all the logistics that you need to be able to take the photos, get the photos back into the computers. Mm-hmm. What happens then once the logistics are over, the photos are captured? What's the next step in the customer experience?
Oh yeah, no, that's, you know, again, great question. And you know, in our world, what we do is we rely heavily on technology that we've grown over the years. And once the images get what we call ingested, which is really imported into our system. And that means the images get uploaded, they get renamed, they get resized, so we have the thumbs, the previews, and the high res. An automatic text alert gets sent to the family that their images are now available to be viewed. So we have this ongoing dialogue with the families all week long, you know, both at the Ripken Experience and all the other events that we do, where the families stay in constant communication with us via texting, which is obviously the quickest and easiest way to communicate, especially when a lot of people don't check their email because they give us a work email, but everybody's checking their phone when it dings or pings. So a text gets sent, the families come in, they view their photos, they start selecting them, and then they start building the packages. And in our world, our packages are very simple. We're, you know, as I like to say, we're like the Five Guys. We got posters. we got a digital photo package, and then we got a combination of a poster and a digital package. Much like Five Guys, you got cheeseburgers, fries, hamburgers, and sodas.
Yep, I'm a big fan of that whole KISS philosophy, keep it simple, stupid. It sounds like that was part of the pivot and part of the overall plan, and it sounds like sheer brilliance from this end.
From a customer perspective, it comes off seamlessly, but it comes off seamlessly because we've thought through all the minutiae details. It's like I was telling somebody the other day, it's, you know, again, I'm not comparing us to Uber, but Uber works so easily because all the heavy lifting and the hard work is done on the back end. You know, it knows where you are. You call a car. It knows where the driver is. It sends information back and forth. So a lot of the heavy lifting in our world is done in the back office. But from a parent's perspective, it's very, very seamless. And they appreciate it. And they show us their appreciation by spending quite a bit of money with us on their average orders.
Everything's printed on site?
Yeah, we print everything on site. And in the case of the Ripken Experience, we also have the capability of framing images on site as well. So a parent can actually go home with their poster framed. And as a little marketing touch, we actually give them a glass wipe to clean the frame, and we give them the nail to hang the frame.
Yep. And that's what I'm talking about, this attention to detail that you guys have. It's created an experience inside the experience. And what I mean by that is not only is the Ripken experience this once-in-a-lifetime event for many of these baseball players, but the whole photo buying process, from this side looking at it, from the side of that dad with his son walking in, that in itself is another experience, and it feels like it's catered to me.
It is, and we make every customer feel special. We've printed tens of thousands of posters over the 12 years we've been in existence. I mean, literally tens of thousands of posters, but everyone is unique. And we even have a special way of presenting the posters. We teach our sales staff, you know, the oohs and the ahs, and we actually keep a box of Kleenex right next to the pickup counter because we've seen parents shed tears when they're, you know, when they see their son, you know, his name, the Ripken logo, you know, as a piece of art. So it's truly, you know, it's truly an experience. And I believe parents, you know, they like what we do. Because obviously we see a lot of repeat customers year after year, but it adds value to Ripken, which is why I think our relationship with Ripken is so strong and our other partners, because we actually add value to the experience. It's not just we're selling, you know, a 4x6 or a 5x7 out of a shoebox.
I'm going to take just a moment here and I'm just going to summarize where we're at right now and especially what it means for the photography industry. So what Chaim and his partner have done is they've gone to the events where memories are made. There's no doubt that they've chosen very high-end events, and the people that go to the events are very much a part of this experience economy. It's one of the reasons why they're going to the events. And so Chaim's targeted places where these experiences are transformed into some of our fondest memories. And then he doubled down by making the photo purchasing process a whole nother customer experience. As professional photographers, we often concentrate on the final product, but we leave the process behind. And the overall experience of capturing images, you know, standing in line with order forms, sometimes it feels like we're failing, and some of that's not going to hold up moving into an experience-based economy. To me, that seems like you had that line of thinking before, and you were able to make that pivot. And if you allow me just a second to rewind back into my own experience in the event and action space, I come out of I've got a 20-year career in the photo industry, and back in the late 1990s, working for a youth sports company in Minneapolis, they had actually hired programmers on. It was a big enough youth sports photographer that, you know, they're able to afford a programmer on staff. They were able to afford the Kodak 520s, which, as you know, in 1999, they were $26,000 cameras.
Wow.
So basically, there weren't... It was very cutting edge. It was a lookup system that was custom coded for this business. The business already had contracted the team and individual pictures with all of the giant suburban leagues. And so it was the contacts into the tournaments were all there. And those years when those cameras were that expensive, and I'm going to get to the point where I think we failed, the lines were out the doors, right? So basically parents would a photographer would go out, spray and pray, shoot the photos of the entire game, or in the case of hockey here in Minnesota, you'd probably do two of the three periods, bring back the cards to the download station. The operator would download the cards, resequence them and feed them out to the laptop stations. Well, by the time the game was over, that third period, parents would pour out of the stands and literally there would be lines out the doors because it was so new. It was so unattainable for any of those customers, for anybody in the stands to be able to get shots like that of their own kids playing sports. But here's where we failed. And I started to notice a steep decline, and this might coincide with some of the things you were seeing as you're going through this very similar experience. We noticed a steep decline through about 2005, and personally, I blame this on the extreme price drop in digital cameras, for example. I mean, I can't remember when the Mark II came out, but that camera, when it came out, it might have been around that same time, 2005, was about $2,600. I mean, it went, you know, in a less than a 10-year span from $26,000 to, you know, what the Mark II being a revolutionary camera down to $2,600. We would start to see moms in the stands with Canon 70 to 200 lenses, you know, strapped onto a very high megapixel camera. I was basically blaming that price drop and mom. So here I am blaming my own customer, right?
Exactly. And, when things don't go right, blame the customer.
But after hearing your story, I think that there's a bigger lesson to be had here. And I think that it was our inability to make the pivot that you made.
Yeah.
And at the time that I was shutting down that division because of what I was seeing and the returns we were seeing, that's when you guys, when the new glossy finish was just getting revved up. Can you take us again? I know you covered it briefly in the beginning. Back to that moment. Yeah. I'd like to know, maybe this is just for me, but to rewind back into my history.
Sure.
But I'd like to know how you guys made that pivot where, you know, me and my team, we fell short.
Yeah, no, and it sounds like you guys were doing everything right. I mean, you were spending money on technology. You had the right gear, you know, cameras and printers. Where, you know, where I think you guys may have, you know, misstepped was exactly where we started off misstepping. And that was doing the spray and pray. We were photographing everybody that played, you know, in the event. And there's a lot of photographers still doing it. And if it's working for them, that's awesome. But we found and saw the same thing where parents would come. There would be lines, you know, into our trailers to view photos. And the biggest difference is in that model that you guys had and that we started with back in 2006, people were looking for photos. In our world, we pivoted to people looking at photos. Because we took the sign up, because we took the registration, we knew who our customers were before they even came in and, you know, keyed in their name and their cell phone into our system to look at their photos. So what we did is we pivoted fairly quickly because if you remember, hashtag epic fail, it wasn't working for us, even though we had, you know, new cameras, you know, cutting edge technology. It was simply the experience of the customer was we're painting people's houses that didn't want or need their houses painted. So to this day and age, I'll be honest with you, we still see moms in the stands or moms behind the backstop with 70 to 200s, 2.8s, but, you know, they're stuck on that P for professional mode.
Yeah.
And so we're not, you know, we're not photographing 100% of every player. Not everybody wants our services. I mean, we average anywhere from, you know, 35 to 40% at Ripken or any of our other events. So that means that 60% of families that participate in the events or attend the events that we photograph still don't need or want our services. But that's okay, because for the 40% that do, they spend a lot more money because they have a lot more photos of their player hitting, batting, running, fielding, and all that other good stuff. And that's, I think, where the biggest difference is and where I think a lot of people are still stuck. You know, photographers are still stuck in, well, I can't make money with action photography. It's not so much because, you know, they're bad photographers. It's just that their model hasn't pivoted with the, you know, with the economy or with the customer.
That's a great point. I guess I've got one final question for you today, and it's related to what you were just talking about. I hope it's just for today because I hope you'll be back. I think we've left a lot on the table. We've had a great conversation. You don't necessarily have to answer this next question. If you think it might be training future competition or arming the competition in some way, my question is, you've targeted some of the highest-end youth experience tournaments that are out there. Can this go in reverse? Can this work on a smaller scale? A lot of photographers listening to this podcast may not have the same resources that we've had in the past to build some of these systems, or, you know, even necessarily just straight up employees and bandwidth to be able to cover something like this. So I'm thinking of the photographer that might have, you know, themselves and one to three photographers that are kind of revolving around that business. Do you think there's a way to bring the glossy finish experience to, say, local tournaments or targeted events?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, the biggest directional change that we took was not shooting on speculation, you know, just not photographing everybody, because that's the way the industry has always done it. And again, if you remember, that's the way we started it. So I get calls, I don't want to say on a weekly basis, but I get several calls a month of people always calling us and asking us, hey, can we take a look at your technology? Can we license your technology? And, you know, we're obviously a photography company. We're not a technology company, but I am looking at ways of streamlining some of our top line processes and making it, you know, creating, for lack of a better term, an app, a business model that will allow, you know, individual photographers, you know, the solopreneur photographers to go out, photograph games, you know, even random games, doesn't have to be tournaments, and use some of the things that we've learned over the 12 years and be able to, you know, to create new revenue by photographing action photography at youth events. So yes, absolutely. I think it can be done, but a mindset has to be changed.
It's great to hear you say that. I can't imagine an industry that's more intertwined in the experience economy than professional photography. We capture memories and hand them back to our customers. I've not always thought of it this way, but as I get older and my own memories lose a little luster, I've come to think of our images, the ones that we take as professional photographers, as forming an absolutely critical extension of our own personal historical record. The images and videos are an extension of my own highly fallible memory, and even more so in the age of smartphones, when we've got these computers in our pockets and I can take these memories with me. It's really becoming an extension of who I am and how my mind works, and very much a part of the experience economy. I know that we sometimes miss the mark in the photo industry, and we haven't always created a great experience for our customers. From one professional to another, my recommendation is that we look at our current business models and see how they stand up in this new economy, where the experience is king. To conclude, I'd like to say thank you to our guest, Chaim Ariev from Glossy Finish. Thanks, Chaim.
Thank you for having me, TW.
I certainly hope we can do this again and maybe take a deeper dive into what it looks like for one of the independent photographers that might be lacking the resources, but certainly has the equipment and the effort to pull off an action event or weekend type tournament.
Would love to do that, as long as we do it in sunny, warm Florida.
That's a deal. Thanks, Chaim.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hanging Pixels, a podcast for professional photographers. My name is T.W. Woodward, and on behalf of our guest, Chaim Ariev, we want to thank you for listening.
You can subscribe to Hanging Pixels on iTunes, Spotify, Facebook, and Google Play Music. Please direct any comments to the Hanging Pixels Facebook page. And if you enjoyed the show, please give us a big ol' thumbs up.